Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of Once Upon a Curse by E.D. Baker.
Chapter 1. When I was a little girl, I never gave much thought to doing magic. I'd watch my Aunt Gracina perform it every day, and she never seemed to have any problems. When I started practicing magic, I expected it to be as easy for me as it had been for her. I couldn't have been more wrong. My first attempts at magic were a series of small disasters. I made crabapple tarts that grew claws and pinched us. My cleaning spells were so strong that my bed made itself even when I was in it, and a whirlwind swept up everything I dropped, including my shoes and hair ribbons, dumping them in the dung heap behind the stables. I became a frog because of one kind of magic, while another kind turned me back into a frog at the worst possible times. Sometimes my magic didn't do what I'd intended, sending me to the dungeon or making me prematurely old. When dragon steam enhanced my magic and I became a powerful witch, I thought that my problems with magic were over. But once again, I was wrong. Suddenly, I had bigger problems to face, problems caused by magic that I soon learned only magic could fix. I'd been visiting my Aunt Gracina's workshop in the dungeon every day for the last few weeks, and I had almost finished studying her parchments and the books she'd brought down from the tower rooms. With only a few more left to check, I was getting increasingly frustrated, since I hadn't found a single spell that would help me. When I'd arrived in the dungeon that morning, Gracina had dashed out of her room without saying where she was headed. Knowing her, she probably had some sort of mischief planned. I would have followed her to see what she was up to if I hadn't had something more important to do. Massaging my forehead with one hand, I pushed the parchment aside with the other. I was tired of sitting in the dungeon. It wasn't as bad as it could have been, since there were plenty of candles and I'd dressed warmly, but the candles kept sputtering and going out, and the stink of decay was so strong it made my head hurt. Something ran over my shoe, and I jerked my foot under my chair. It's probably blister, I thought, shuddering. Once, before she changed from being the kind and gentle green witch to being the nasty, bewitched self she'd been for the last year or so, Gracina had kept a small, inoffensive, apple-green snake that had never bothered anyone. Now she shared her room with an old gray rat she'd found in the dungeon, Blister. He smelled awful. His fur was patchy and his naked tail was covered with sores. But his worst feature was his disposition, which was as nasty as my aunt's. I didn't mind the chill of the dungeon, the magic fogs that drifted from room to room, or even the ghosts who popped in unexpectedly. Blister was a different story, however, since he loved tripping me and jumping out of the shadows to startle me. For the 100th time, I thought about creating my own witch's lights so I wouldn't have to strain to see the words on the pages and the creatures that lurked in the darkened corners of the room. I knew better, however, because this was my aunt's workshop, and she didn't like anyone doing magic in it except her. She was always nasty, but she was even worse if you did something she didn't like, which is why I'd gone to the dungeon in the first place. The feeble light from her flickering candles would have to do. I'd been looking for a cure for the family curse for over a year. My aunt had been its most recent victim, and if I didn't do something about it before my 16th birthday, I might fall prey to it as well. Like our magical abilities, the curse had been passed down from generation to generation. It had started when my long-ago ancestor Hazel, the first Green Witch, had given out everlasting bouquets at her 16th birthday party and hadn't brought enough for everyone. A disappointed fairy had cursed her, saying that if Hazel ever touched another flower, she'd lose her beauty as well as her sweet disposition. Unfortunately, the spell hadn't ended with Hazel, who had died centuries before I was born. Women in my family learned to stay away from flowers, with life-altering consequences if they didn't. They not only became ugly to look at, they turned so nasty that hardly anyone could stand them. I finished reading another parchment and sighed. One more collection of useless spells for turning sow's ears into silk purses and lead into gold. The last spell, so long and involved that it had almost put me to sleep, had explained how to make mountains out of molehills.
"Almost finished, Emma," said a high-pitched voice.
My friend, a bat named Lil, peered at me from the ceiling where she hung upside down. "It shouldn't be long now," I told her. Rolling the parchment into a tube, I set it beside the others that I'd already studied. I was reaching for the last two when I heard scratching at the door. "Grisina's back," I said, pulling my hand away. My magic had improved remarkably since the day I had learned that I had the talent. Not only had I become a dragon friend, but I'd also become the Green Witch after Grisina lost the title. I could do a lot of things that I would once have considered impossible. Now I knew who was standing on the other side of a door without opening it. This was particularly handy when I was trying to avoid talking to my mother. The scratching came again.
"Why would Grisina scratch the door?" Lil asked.
"Good question." I reached for the latch and had opened the heavy wooden door only a few inches when it smacked into me, and an enormous lizard bounded across the threshold. At least 7 feet long, the stocky creature's body seemed to fill the room. It raised its head to hiss at Lil, but didn't pay any attention to me. Lil shrieked and flew to the ceiling, trying to hide in the cracks between the stones. The lizard cackled, and its edges grew fuzzy. Then suddenly, my aunt was standing in its place.
"Why are you still here?" she asked me. "I thought you were almost finished."
"I would have finished days ago if you had more light."
"There's enough light in here to do my spells. But if it stops your whining, I'll give you your rotten witch's lights. Anything to get rid of you sooner."
With a wave of her hand and a few muffled words, Grisina sent a flurry of small globes bouncing against the ceiling. Instead of the rosy glow her witch's lights had made before she changed, these cast a sickly shade of green, making us look mortally ill. A fuzzy little animal with a stubby tail and tiny ears scurried across the table. The creature squeaked as it ran off the edge and fell to the floor, where it lay on its back, twitching. Although it was about the size of a mouse, it didn't look like any I'd ever seen. "What is that?" I asked my aunt.
"A hamster," she said. "I saw them on my travels once. It used to be a spider, but hamsters have more meat on them. Being a lizard makes you hungry."
"That's disgusting," I exclaimed.
"Do you really think so?"
Grisina asked, her eyes brightening. I looked up when one of the witch's lights went out. An ugly brown fog smelling of rotting vegetables was smothering the lights one by one. Grisina darted across the room to a barrel and rolled it to the center of the floor. The fog had almost reached the last witch's light when she muttered a few words and the barrel began to shake. Hissing like an angry snake, the barrel swelled as it sucked the fog through a small opening in its side. When the last wisp had disappeared, Grisina rammed a plug into the hole and rubbed her hands together.
"Good," she said. "I could use more of that."
"What do you need it for?"
"This,"
she said, stomping to her workbench and uncovering a bowl filled with lavender dust.
"I distill the fog and collect the residue."
"What does it do?" I asked.
"None of your business," she said, slamming the cover back on the bowl. "You're too nosy for your own good. I think you'd better leave. I'm sick of seeing your face around here."
"I'm not finished yet. I have two more parchments."
"Here, take them,"
she said, snatching the parchments off the table and tossing them to the floor.
And don't come back!
Lil fluttered from her hiding place in the ceiling while I picked up the parchments. We'd hardly crossed the threshold before the door slammed shut behind us.
At least you got the parchments, said Lil, landing on my shoulder. I thought she didn't want them to leave her workshop.
That's what she said when I first asked to see them. It's the only reason I didn't take them upstairs before this. Unfortunately, these probably won't be any more helpful than the others. I guess I'm going to have to look somewhere else.
Where else can you look?
That's a good question, I said. My 16th birthday is next week, and I have to find a counter curse before then. Father has scheduled his tournament to start the day before. He says it's to celebrate my birthday, but I think that's just an excuse. He's invited Edric's parents and half of their kingdom, so I think he's hoping to impress my potential in-laws before any marriage contract is signed. Lil looked puzzled.
Why do you have to find the counter curse before your birthday?
Because the curse could change me any time after I turn 16. If that happens, there won't be a green witch to protect the safety of Greater Greensward. At least Grisina had me to take her place, but I don't know anyone who could take mine.
There you are,
my mother called as I closed the dungeon door behind me.
I can't imagine why you spend so much time in that horrid place. But then you always were peculiar.
Hearing my mother's voice, Lil slipped off my shoulder and fluttered toward the darker recesses of the corridor. I couldn't blame her for being afraid of my mother. I was visiting Grisina's workroom, I said, hoping to distract my mother from the fleeing bat. Mother looked as if she'd swallowed something bitter. Since the curse had taken effect, she'd avoided my aunt as much as she did my grandmother. I nodded to my mother's lady-in-waiting, who was hovering close enough to hear her name called, but far enough away to appear discreet.
Your Highness,
she replied, curtsying lower than she used to before I was the Green Witch. Being a princess hadn't meant nearly as much as being the most powerful witch in the kingdom, and now I received a lot more respect than I ever had before. Cradling the parchments in my arms, I joined my mother as she entered the great hall.
I told you, I said. I'm looking for a cure for the family curse. Grisina has been letting me look through her books and parchments.
Have you found anything?
Not yet.
I'm not surprised. If all the witches before you weren't able to come up with a cure, what makes you think you can? Don't get an inflated opinion of yourself, miss, just because you're the Green Witch.
I won't, Mother.
I certainly wouldn't with her around.
I just think that they might not have looked hard enough or in the right places.
More likely, there's nothing to find. You're wasting your time when you should be seeing to your new gowns. You'll be meeting Prince Edric's parents next week when they come for the tournament, and I want you looking your best. Although there isn't much we can do with someone as tall and gangly as you. The seamstress will need all the time she can get to make you presentable, so I want you to go see her now.
What I'm doing is very important.
Getting married is very important. And if you don't make a good impression on your future husband's parents, there may not be a wedding. We're going to have to use every trick we can to make them like you, and it's not going to be easy.
I still haven't told Edric I'd marry him.
But you will soon, if you know what's good for you, Mother said, narrowing her eyes.
I left my mother with the promise that I would see the seamstress as soon as I could, but I had no intention of going straight there. Fittings were torture as far as I was concerned, because my mother always showed up to point out my physical shortcomings as if I were the work of an inept sculptor. I hadn't told anyone why I'd put off answering Edric. Even he didn't know the real reason, although he'd made me promise to give him my answer at the tournament. I was afraid it wasn't going to be the answer he wanted to hear. Although I knew I loved him,
I wasn't sure that I should get married. It was one thing to marry the man you love with the idea of living happily ever after, but it was something entirely different knowing that you could turn nasty any day and abandon your husband and children. I didn't want the same thing to happen to Edric that had happened to my grandfather, left on his own when my grandmother, Olivine, had changed from normal to mean. My mother, who had so far avoided the curse by completely banning flowers from the castle, may not have thought it possible to find a way to end the family curse, but I had to believe that such a cure existed. If I was unable to end the curse, I had no intention of marrying anyone. The tower rooms I now used had once been my aunt's, but I'd claimed them when Grisina moved to the dungeon. It was difficult to run up the uneven steps, and I had only reached the first arrow slit when Lil dropped from the ceiling and landed on my shoulder.
"What took you so long?" she asked. "I've been waiting here for ages."
"I was talking to my mother," I said.
"Your mother doesn't like me. She makes people hit me with brooms."
"She's afraid of bats. You'll just have to stay away from her."
"I'd be happy to, but she's hard to avoid." "So are her eeks."
"What are eeks?"
"The people who try to bash me. They come running every time she covers her head and shrieks, 'Eek!'"
I smiled. "Eek isn't a title or a name. It's sort of like saying, 'Ick, a bug.'" Lil snorted.
"That's insulting, isn't it? As if trying to bash me wasn't enough."
The moment we entered my chamber, Lil headed for the storage room where she usually slept, leaving me on my own. I hadn't made many changes to the tower after I had moved in, so it looked much the same as it had when my aunt lived there. A new workbench occupied the main room, replacing the one Grisina had taken with her to the dungeon. The two chairs and the table still sat before the fireplace. The dappled green rugs still covered the floor. Grisina had left her tapestries, the saltwater bowl and the living crystalline bouquet behind, and I had seen no reason to move them. I was comfortable in the tower and had all the space I needed to do my work as the Green Witch. Along with the title had come the ring on my finger and the responsibility of watching over Greater Greensward. Protecting our beautiful kingdom was a job I enjoyed. I used a far-seeing ball to keep watch over the kingdom and toured the countryside by magic carpet every few weeks. Since becoming the Green Witch, I'd fended off an invasion from a neighboring kingdom, chased away a pack of werewolves, routed a trio of nasty trolls, and taught a flock of harpies not to harass our villagers. I'd also taken on the responsibility of keeping the castle moat clean, which wasn't easy because Grisina insisted on dumping her trash into it. A witch's trash is different from that of an ordinary person, and sometimes noxious fumes and bizarre creatures emerged from the moat. My aunt had been the kindest living adult I'd ever known, and I missed her real nature more than I could say, which was the other reason I had to find a cure for the family curse. Grisina was now as horrible as she had once been wonderful, and her nasty tricks were getting worse every day. She'd been terrible to Haywood, the man who had been her betrothed. He had lived with us for nearly 5 months after Grisina had changed, finally moving out when the tricks she played on him began to torment other people as well. He hadn't moved far, however, and still visited the castle now and then. Grisina had driven away my mother's favorite ladies-in-waiting and more servants than we could afford to lose. Lately, my aunt had even turned herself into strange beasts like the lizard I'd just run into, terrorizing the people and animals in and around the castle. Turning Grisina back into her old self would make everyone's life more pleasant. I unrolled a parchment and settled down to read, but it proved to be as useless as the others. After glancing at the last parchment, I set them both aside and went to see Lil. She blinked when I opened the door to the storage room.
"Find anything?"
she asked. "Nothing useful.
unless I want to remove rust or turn myself into a bird. I don't want to give up, but I don't know where to look next. I've talked to every bookseller at the Magic Marketplace. I've gone through my grandmother's books and parchments, and now I've looked at all of Grisina's, and I haven't found anything I can use.
What about Thonaby's cottage? Madine left a lot of good books there.
When I was 14, Lil, Edric, and I had been imprisoned in a witch's cottage deep in the Enchanted Forest. A previous occupant had left her books of magic spells behind. The spells had been reliable, and I'd used a number of them before I learned how to create my own. Remembering that book, I felt a surge of hope. If the other books were just as helpful, perhaps one of them might contain the information I needed. "That's a good idea," I said. "If I go now, I can be back before dark."
"You sent the magic carpet to be mended, remember?"
Lil said.
"How are you going to get there?"
I was about to answer when I glanced out the window. A dove was flying past the tower, the bronze-edged pattern on its wings distinctive in the bright summer sun. I leaned against the windowsill to watch the bird. "I wish I could do that," I thought as the dove swooped and turned. I loved trying new spells. Because Edric had been involved in the original spell that had turned me into a frog, every time I had turned into one, he had as well. However, once my power had become strong enough and I was better able to control it, I could turn into other creatures without changing Edric.
"I think I'll fly."
I climbed onto the window ledge and recited the spell from the parchment. "Fleet of wing and sharp of beak, turn me to the shape I seek. When I say the final word, I will be a feathered bird." My magic was stronger now, so the change was swift and painless. I no longer felt queasy when I changed from my human form to that of a creature, although the difference in perspective was still disorienting. I spread my wings and saw that I was covered with pale brown feathers. I had turned into a dove, the last kind of bird I'd seen. Cocking my head, I bent down to examine my orange feet tipped with small, sharp talons. I'd watched birds before, of course, so I didn't think that flying could be too hard. After all, it didn't take baby birds long to learn, and I was certainly smarter than a sparrow. Raising my wings, I brought them down in a short, sharp movement. I was thrilled when my feet rose from the ledge, but raising my wings again forced me back down. "There must be some trick to this," I thought. Beating my wings once more, I moved out the window and found myself high above the moat. Surprised, I forgot to flap and dropped like a stone, remembering to flap again when I was only a few feet above the water. A long, gray tentacle shot through the scum floating on the surface, its leaf-shaped tip brushing my tail. I beat my wings again, zigzagging up and down, trying to stay out of the monster's reach. Grisina must have dumped more trash into the moat, but I couldn't do anything about it until I got back. I was over dry land again when I discovered that if I twisted my wings and folded them part way, I wouldn't force myself down each time I raised them and could finally fly like a real bird. I experimented, soaring higher than the castle tower and swooping low to skim the meadow grass. A sunny day with only a gentle breeze nodding the buttercups that edged the farmer's fields, it was the perfect day to practice flying.